With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I hate to break it, you're not the same as anyone here, but we can take it. We're short or brown or round or we're queer. I got a feeling we are onto something here.
Live from King's Place in London, the Spontan Inn shop presents Promo College, the comedy panel show starring you, the hive mind of the audience.
And if you worry, trouble might be coming your way. In it together, I think that's what I heard the man say. I got a feeling we are gonna be okay.
Samuel Wolf on keys, everybody! I'm Deborah Francis White, and this is Global Pillage, the comedy panel show where we carefully rake the planet for brilliant leaves of fat and twigs of wonder and inevitably the accidental odd bit of litter. I'll tell you who is far from rubbish, though. Please welcome today's comedians! On my left, playing for Better Than the English, Radu Isaac and Kerry Pritchard-McLean. And on my right, playing for Global Spillage, Yasmin Akram and Samina Zira. So, panellists, what makes you diverse? Kerry Pritchard-McLean, how are you diverse?
I'm Welsh, above anything else. And I guess my background's slightly unusual. I'm a farmer's daughter, now vegan, which means, yeah, I don't speak to my family anymore. That's what that means.
Radu Isaac, how are you diverse?
So, I'm Romanian. I live in the UK, though, so that's not very diverse. But I'm looking for a house.
I thought you were going to say I'm looking for a wife because of Brexit.
No, not necessarily. I don't like the English that much.
Wow. Don't say it. We're trying to reverse Brexit. It doesn't help if Romanians say things like that.
It's not like, oh, well, if you're going to act like this, then...
then we will Brexit.
What have the British ever done to any country?
Basically diverse because I'm looking for a house. I need to move in like 2 weeks. So by the time the podcast comes out, I might be like the first homeless guest you've ever had. That's
good. Well, there's a plea now. Can anyone take Radu? Has anyone got a spare room? No one would see Radu on the street, would they? They all would. They're not even a sofa's been offered up there, Radu.
Doesn't matter, we're going to win tonight.
Yeah. How much money do you think you win if you win? Because the answer is none. And you're on the same fee whether you win or lose.
Yeah, but I want to win the global pillaging contest, and then it doesn't matter if
you
I
don't
have a
win
house
the globe. I just think we need to be very clear about that. And global spillage. Samina Zira, how are you diverse?
So I'm a brown person. I have a British Indian father and an Indian Indian mother. I did also grow up in a very devoutly religious Muslim household. At the age of 9, I became an atheist. They were very chill about it, to be fair. They really were. They were like, oh, well, everybody has to find their own path. That's your path. Go with God. I was like, yeah, I'm doing the exact opposite of that. Please pay attention. But they're very chill about it. So that's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah. Yasmin Akram, how are you diverse?
I am Irish Pakistani. I think there's my sister, and then there's me, and then that's all of us. And I'm also slightly tall. That's diverse.
How tall are you?
I'm about 5'7".
Oh, I'm 5'9½".
Oh, you beat me then. You're more diverse than I am. And I'm a libertine, I think. I discovered the other day. I think I'm a libertine. because I read it in a book.
Sorry, do you mean you're in the band The Libertines?
Yes.
They'll have anyone now, aren't they? They're really running out of people.
I took over from Pete Doherty, not Beat. He's not a beetroot. And, no, I'm a libertine because I read in a book that it's like somebody who's into sensual pleasures. Mm. And I ate like half of a family-sized sticky toffee pudding before I came here. And I'm kind of...
You told me 3/4.
I went down a bit. Okay. Yeah, and I'm kind of a slut as well, so that's a libertine.
Yay! Yeah. Excellent. So you're a libertine. You're not libertarian. You're
libertine.
Thank Christ.
Yeah, I was worried for a second. I thought, yeah. Yasmin's read a book on libertarianism and has said, yeah, that's me.
And she's, yeah. You know, I read like one book every 10 years and I go, that's me. Animal Farm, I'm one of those pigs.
And why are you called Global Spillage?
Because it rhymes with the name of the show.
Right.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
You know that the original name of the show rhymes with Global Village and that's why it itself is a pun.
Oh, really?
It's a pun on a pun. I love it.
It's great. I think can we get some points
for
that?
Yeah, we should get some points for that. And the fact that I'm a slut.
And that she's
don't know
had,
what's
like,
being offered here. I will...
Sticky toffee pudding. There's a fourth left.
I'll see what I can do.
Thanks.
Making sure that all the facts are indeed facts and not presidential tweets dressed up as facts for Halloween, please welcome to Pedant's Corner, Ned Sedgwick. And give him your praise, it's the piano man, it's Samuel Wolfe. Ned, have you had a global experience lately?
Yes, I was at a swanky party the other day, and I was with a friend who's not from England, and I saw Graham Norton at this party. And I nearly cried, I was so excited. Love Eurovision, love Graham Norton, really, really love Eurovision. And also, like, let's just put it to bed. It's got better since he took over, because once his face, he did it before, was too neggy on it. So let's just put that to bed forever.
I've just realised that this panel show is the Eurovision of panel shows.
Yes, it basically is, except less kind of Balkan bloc countries voting for one another because of pre-existing populations. That's another podcast, my Eurovision podcast. My friend... who wasn't from England, I said, oh my God, Graham Norton stood 10 feet away from us, turned to me and said, who's Graham Norton?
Oh,
and I realised, if you haven't grown up in England, why would you know who Graham Norton is?
Or there's other places you could have grown up.
Or Ireland.
Wales.
Yeah, Ireland.
Scotland, Northern Ireland.
You haven't grown up in Britain or Ireland.
Irish, if you're Irish, you'd
I've corrected myself.
Our resident musician Mark Hodge is taking a break. So this week, Samu is self-scribing an episode-specific song for Global Pillage born from some interesting cultural wonder. The floor is yours to deliver the eighth wonder of the world, Samu!
Okay, maintaining a theme of sort of picking songs from my travels, I went cycled to Scotland and got really, really drunk with some friends. I went to a Cayley. The place was called Loch Lomond, and it turns out that's also the name of a folk song from Scotland as well. And it turns out it's like pretty popular and things. And if you haven't heard it before, it goes... For you'll take the high score and I'll take the low, and the hive mind will win anyway. For me and the audience are here to ask again, tell us what are the scores, please, Ned.
Stirring stuff, and it's especially good because you have to elongate Ned into two syllables, and a lot of people call me Negend, so you could run away at bringing that in.
So what are the scores, please, Negend?
You don't know.
If
yeah, that works.
Yeah. So audience, if you want to sing Negend, you go right ahead. If you believe Ned is a legend, that's up to you.
I'll give you a little intro and we can try it. For me and the audience are here to ask again, tell us what are the scores, please, Legend.
It works better.
First up is our themed round. You should know that this week's theme was devised by our producer, Tom Selinsky, my husband. But I think you should know that it would not be my personal choice of theme. In fact, I think it's a terrible theme. What a crap idea, Tom. Ugh. This week's theme is domestic bliss. Obviously, I'm joking. It's a brilliant theme as usual. And Tom didn't come up with it. He doesn't do any work. Now, All the teams get a chance to answer, but you get more points if you buzz in first with the correct answer. The hive mind gets a chance to answer after both teams of comedians have answered. Fingers on buzzers. In China, what is a naked marriage? Global village.
Just really cheap marriage, like poor people have?
The bride basically turned up naked.
Yeah, not really, but metaphorically.
Yasmin?
Is it like the naked chef? On the day of the wedding, she skirts down the banister and Top Loader's playing. And then, is it... Because that's...
Please be that.
Yeah. Basically, it's weddings designed around the theme of Jamie Oliver's first cooking show.
Right, okay. Yeah. Better than the English. Do you have an answer?
I thought it was going to be like... Don't tell the bride, but they keep back all the money and just go and get hammered with that. So everything else is stripped back, no pun intended.
So they have loads of booze and nothing else,
yes,
basically.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, a naked wedding is one where you have loads of booze. Hive mind.
No dowry.
And no,
the man doesn't have property. Shotgun wedding.
Shotgun wedding?
Oh, because they've seen each other naked.
So shotgun. A divorce is a naked wedding. Oh. Marriage.
Oh, I like...
Okay.
No, I don't know if I
all right, some very... What was that?
A party.
Yeah.
But without a wedding.
Oh, so just the night do.
Oh,
great.
Just the party part.
Okay. The best bit of the wedding.
These were brilliant answers, Hive Mind. If it's a wedding where there's no dowry, buzz now. Where the man has no property, buzz now.
Oh, we can't join in,
you
can
cannot okay. Buzz. Okay. You're skewing the sample because you have a microphone.
Oh, sorry.
Shotgun wedding, the bride is pregnant, buzz now. They've already seen each other naked. Or a party, buzz now. It was some lateral thinking there. We liked it at the time, but nobody went for it. In fact, I think you buzzed basically for it. It's something between no dowry, the bride has no dowry and the man has no property. It's one in which neither party has a house, car or other material possessions, otherwise known as a London marriage. Will you give them points for that, Ned?
Yeah, no, definitely. I'll give half a point for Global Spillage as well, because I think they came pretty close.
What did they say?
Jamie Oliver.
Poor people.
Jamie Oliver.
Yeah, a Jamie Oliver reference. It's only really quite a recent thing. It came about kind of after 2008, and it sounds bad, but actually, it is a marker of an increase of love marriages, with people just getting married because they've fallen in love, rather than having loads of prerequisites.
I love that you had to explain what a love marriage was.
Again, we're in
London.
We'll
see if this lasts.
Yeah, you know, not just because they want to have a party with their mates.
Okay, what is the role of fake brides in traditional Ghanaian weddings? The role of fake brides. Global Spillage.
Is it that all of the bride's friends who look a bit like her have to dress in a wedding dress with her and then stand quite far away from the groom on the day? And if he can't pick out his fiancée, then it's not going to go ahead, because if you can't identify your own wife on the wedding day, it's a bad omen for the rest of your life.
Well, I would agree with that. I think you can't identify your wife on the wedding day. When are you going to be able to?
Exactly. In a supermarket.
So it's like a police lineup.
Yes.
For brides.
Yeah. Six card.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed. You win the bride if you can point her out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
If you're going for a friend.
I mean, that is an ITV2 pitch, if I've ever heard one.
It really is. If you pitch that to ITV2 or Channel 5, you've got yourself for sale there. What's it called?
It's called Which One Is My Wife? That's shit. No.
That's what it would be called at Channel 5.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it would be called Wife Hunt.
That's exactly what it would be called. Yeah. And there would be so much crying. Mm. I really want to watch it and be in it. I want to host it.
Better than the English. Do you have an answer?
Is it just a bit of theatre to it? So, like, the groom's walking down the aisle and then brides have to sort of pretend to be like, I
jump
want to marry
out.
You. Yeah. And then he's like, no, even though he's like, oh, I wish I had fucked you in 2003. And then he's like, no, this one, I guess. Is it just part of the theatre of it that they have to pretend to knock people back?
Radu?
A backup bride?
Yes, in case she gets the shits. Yeah. Yes, of course.
So the groom really gets to pick.
Yeah, really.
So, I just love the idea that you wouldn't marry somebody because she's got the shits.
No, no, I wouldn't marry someone else. I'm not having my big day when I'm like, I can't trust a fart. That's not how I want to go into this next chapter of my life. No, in a white dress, no way.
Exactly, it wasn't meant to be if you have the farts on that day.
Okay, thank you, that's enough discussion. No, I'm very lavatorially phobic. What is the role of fake brides in traditional Ghanaian weddings?
Test the groom's loyalty.
To test the groom's loyalty.
Confuse evil spirits.
To confuse evil spirits.
Oh, nice.
For the photos.
What, so you just get a better looking woman to come in and do your wedding photos? You just hire a glamour model. And then you look back at the photos and go, I was so hot. And you just, over the years, start to forget that it wasn't you. Okay. To talk him out of it. An unromantic answer there. Okay. So, is it to test the loyalty of the groom, Buzznow? Is it to confuse the evil spirits, Buzznow? For the photos?
I want it to be there.
So the fake brides can talk him out of it, Buzznow. Okay, so you've gone for either test loyalty or confuse the evil spirits. I'm going to need to hear those two again. Test loyalty. Evil spirits. You are correct, it's test loyalty. Ooh. It's to try and tempt the groom and test his love.
I feel like I called that.
I feel like there were a few people who called that. I feel that the I Spy a Bride answer is actually really, really similar, because what they do is they get them to wear veils. And he has to be like, which one's most? So that he can't see the face.
Oh,
so
we're going to do that on the show as well. So that's really nice.
Again, I think like a lot of these things, this is quite a specific, I don't think this is every Ghanaian wedding has this. But apparently it's a bit of a joke and the groom's in on it. But imagine if you were like, oh yeah, she's my wife, and you got the wrong one. Even, yeah. It's a kind of joke you just don't want to get wrong. So yeah, I think points to Global Spillage, points to Hive Mind, and I think some points to Better Than the English. But most points to Hive Mind.
This feels like a rigged system.
In Greek weddings, why do salty sweet Jordan almonds have such a prominent role? Global Spillage.
Is it because it's like a fever and it's about sweetening your marriage but also having a little bit of like salty naughtiness?
Okay, a little bit sweet, a little bit salty. Yasmin?
Yes, I think that's...
Do another one just in case.
Okay. So what if Jesus was doing a tour and...
What a strong start.
And Jesus was doing a tour?
Yes.
Like a book tour?
Like he's doing his shows.
What, a book tour of the Bible?
His shows, yes.
He's doing his leper... wine into... Water into wine show, and the and curing leper shows. Right?
Yeah.
He's in Greece...
The Return.
He's in Greece.
There is a Gore Vidal book about like Jesus being a con man who goes around doing shows.
Really?
Yeah, it's like the sinner Christ. Yeah, so...
So he stole my idea, first of all. Yeah.
Is that the one book that you read last year?
That's me.
So he's on tour, he's in Greece, he's doing the leper shows, and a newlywed couple come to watch, and they're in the front row and they're eating almonds, but they're just normal almonds. And he'll go, guys, you come to the show, what are you eating? And they say, almonds. And he says, just plain almonds. And they say, yeah. And then they eat them and they're sweet and salty. And he's done a miracle. And...
But you're glad you asked for another answer now, aren't you, mate?
So that's...
It could be.
The tradition is from then.
So the tradition is from... It's the idea is Jesus has blessed your almonds.
A newlywed Greek couple's almonds. And they've kept... Because that's why it's only in Greece.
Yeah.
That they've kept the tradition.
It's a Greek tradition.
Yeah.
When Jesus famously didn't go to Greece.
Yeah. On one of his tours.
He didn't...
You're not...
Couple was Greek. He didn't go to Greece.
No. Does anyone know, for an extra point, the countries Jesus did go to?
Yes. Ireland.
India. He went to India. We've got one of his hairs, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not in the Bible, but he might have.
I mean,
he took some years off.
He did. Also, he can magic himself anywhere.
So he's within all of us, so really he's been in every country.
So that's probably the right answer to
that. He's invasive like that.
Okay, in Greek weddings, why do salty, sweet Jordan almonds have such a prominent role, gang?
Is it because that's what you sort of like, eating's cheating, but everyone has like a round of almonds?
Eating's before, cheating?
Yeah, you know, so you can get hammered. So you don't eat, do you? Because then you get hammered quicker and the bars are always proper pricey at weddings because they're in hotels with ideas above the station. So you have almond rounds. Yeah. Everyone's like, chuck these back. And it just lines your stomach so you're not sick out your nose. I think it's that.
It's definitely so people can drink more.
It's so people can drink more at weddings. Oh. That's why you have salty, sweet Jordan almonds. Hive Mind, what do you think?
For energy, like the Italians, abayone, at a wedding where it's supposed to be to give the couple energy for after the wedding.
Oh, it's for
the wedding night.
Oh, it's for energy. It's for sexual energy. Well.
Because if they drink more, then it's a higher probability that they'll have sex.
Yeah, but they've got,
but they've
the
got
energy.
The energy from
not
the almonds.
Pass out.
Yeah. Right.
Anything else?
They have joy and tears.
Joy. Joy and tears.
They want them to cry.
No, you're going to have in your marriage salt and tears.
You're going to have joy and tears. You're going to sweet and sour. Okay. So buzz now if you think it's to give the couple sexual energy later. And buzz now if you think it's to represent joy and tears in the marriage. You are correct. It is meant to represent marriage's ups and downs.
Oh.
So I think Samina also said...
I said the sweet and the sour, but it's salty.
The sweet and the sour. So I think Global Spillage and the Hive Mind both scored, Ned. What do you think?
I completely agree.
Completely agree. So it's the end of the round.
Four almonds aside, let us chorus once again. Tell us what are the scores, Ned?
The scores are as follows. Two teams are tied in first place, Global Spillage and the Hive Mind on 25 points apiece. And Better Than the English have scored and have 5 points, but are way behind.
Okay. Fine.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Next round is everyone's favourite round.
Idioms!
In this round, the teams have to tell us the meaning of a foreign phrase which has been literally translated into English. For example, in China, they say someone who's caught in the rain is a chicken who's fallen into soup, whereas in England, we call that being English. In France, if someone puts a rabbit on you, what have they done? Are you allowed to say so now, though? No. You have to wait till the team
stood you up.
Maybe. Possibly not.
Hired a magician to kill you.
Someone puts a rabbit on you, they've hired a magician to kill you. What, hired a magician to cut you up in a box and then just not put you back together?
Yeah.
It That's funny, because I had that gag about a feminist magician who cuts a man into three and doesn't put it back together.
It might have myxomatosis or whatever the thing is rabbits get. Yeah. They'll kill you.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. But it's, you know, that's their partner in crime, is a rabbit. I've called... I was trying to think of a magician name. What's a good magician name? What? Houdini.
The magnificent Ken Rabbitoni.
I've called the magnificent Rabbitoni, and he's going to put a rabbit on you. See, it works.
It does work. Better than the English. In France, if someone puts a rabbit on you, what have they done?
Told you to put on a condom.
Yeah, that's a good one. I thought they were trying to sort of encourage Peter to throw red paint over you. It's sort of like a plan to get you disgraced.
So it's a planned disgrace?
Yeah.
Or it's a condom?
It's sort of the same thing.
No, it isn't, Radu. No, it isn't. Hive mind. In France, if someone puts a rabbit on you, what have they done? And do we have an answer from the back there?
Yes, she does.
What is it?
That you've been
They've stood you up.
That's an interesting answer.
I've already said that. You can't.
They've stood you up. Anything else? It doesn't seem like the hive mind think they need anything else. If it stood you up, buzz now. Correct, it is stood you up. They've stood you up on a date. Well done. Well done.
I wish that was wrong. So funny if that was wrong.
It wasn't wrong, though. The question is, does Global Spillage get any points because they copied the Hive Mind's answer because the Hive Mind spoke out of turn?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh.
No, yeah.
That was a bit of an own goal, Hive Mind. That was a bit of an own goal.
Oh, we're sorry for stealing the answer. Don't put a rabbit on us. The magician meaning. There's no two meanings to that.
We can make it.
I'm going to hire a magician tonight to kill someone. To prove that same.
If a magician kills someone tonight, you are so the first suspect. This is going to go out on the internet and the police are going to be like, it was Yasmin Akron. She put the great Rubito up to this. In Turkey, they say, the grapes darken when they look at each other. What do they mean? The grapes darken when they look at each other. And if you're in the hive mind and you're Turkish, this is a good time to keep quiet. And let these losers say nonsense.
Is it being jealous of someone?
Jealous of somebody?
Yeah.
Because the thing is, they don't explain what the darkens bit means. It is said, like, the grapes darken with shame. Because you're trying to get into the mind of a grape.
Is it that they ripen together?
The thing about idioms, Yasmin, is that they generally don't put the literal explanation in with.
But they should.
The metaphorical.
There should be footnotes as a matter of courtesy.
Yeah. Just like in brackets to help somebody out. I'm just saying if they could give me just a clue as to what's going on with the grape.
Because it is hard to get, but you're an actor, you should be able to get into the mind of anybody, even
okay,
a grape.
I'm just going to channel a grape for a second.
Okay, so imagine you're offered a role on BBC One, it's a costume drama.
Yeah.
And they say you're playing a grape.
Yes. A Turkish grape, crucially.
In a Jane Austen
maybe,
film.
Yeah. Maybe Martin Freeman's playing the other grape.
Okay.
And then the grapes darken when they look at each other. So you've got to darken, Martin Freeman's got to darken. What's the grape thought process?
The grapes darken.
How's he feeling? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling probably gassy. I know that.
I think he's feeling intimidated because you're probably taller than him.
Yeah, well, I'm very tall, so that's the thing. I'm not a very good actor, so
you went to the RADA, Yasmin.
I know, but most of the time I'm always just thinking about what I'm going to have for my lunch. So maybe that's it. The grapes are thinking about their lunch.
Okay, so we've got jealousy from Better Than the English. We've got hunger.
Ripening together.
Oh, yeah.
Getting old together.
Yeah, they're ripening
together. Two grapes are getting old together. Yes. That's also the plot of the drama.
Yeah. Okay, hive mind. What does it mean? In Turkey, they say the grapes darken when they look at each other. What do they mean by that?
Blushing.
Falling in love. They're infecting each other. Do you mean like with a sexually transmitted disease? That should go into the Martin Freeman, Yasmin Akram BBC One show.
We're riddled.
Okay, if you think it's people blushing...
Grape expectations. Oh! I spent the last 10 minutes trying to think of a grape joke related to it.
Come into your screens in 2020.
Blush. If it's blushing, buzz now. Buzz. If it's falling in love, buzz now. If it's infecting each other with an STD, buzz now. In fact, it means you're only as good as the company you keep.
Oh.
I would have taken if you'd buzzed for infecting each other.
I love that one person in the hive mind just went, buzz. They're just so over it, buzz.
In the Levant, in the Eastern Mediterranean, what would you be referring to if you said you caught a soldier who was deserting from duty?
Your period.
Oh, erectile dysfunction?
I mean, some really, truly disgusting answers from Better Than English. Oh, God, I'm a feminist. No, take that back. Neither of those things are disgusting. I'm so sorry. I'm jet-lagged and I've accidentally said what I thought. It's not what I meant. It slipped out. I'm cancelled now. It's over. All I can do is resign. Yeah, okay. So is it erectile dysfunction or is it menstruation, global spillage?
I thought it could be if you've got some baked beans or some rice or something and one of them, a grain or a bean, escapes over the side of a plate.
It's like a deserting soldier
from the other gang of beans.
Your chips have gone AWOL.
Yes.
Is it like you've recognised somebody who's not a very good person?
Like untrustworthy.
Yeah, something like that.
Jenny is like a good soldier who's... what was the saying?
Who's Jenny?
Jenny's the person I'm using.
You caught a soldier who was deserting from duty.
Yeah.
No. Okay, hive mind. What would they mean by caught a soldier who was deserting from duty?
Cheater.
Somebody, what, being unfaithful?
It takes one to know one.
Takes one to know one.
Catching someone cheating on you.
Catching a cheater.
Meeting an orphan's parents.
How can you meet an orphan's parents? Well, turns out they just...
They keep records somewhere. Give me some sort of a coincidental...
It happens rarely.
Wow. That is so impossibly niche as a... We've got to have a phrase for this. It keeps happening.
It doesn't need its whole own idiom.
Right, okay, if you think it's a cheater, if you think it's somebody cheating on you, buzz now. Takes one to know one, buzz now. You've caught someone in the act of cheating, buzz now. In fact, it refers to finding bits of hash that have fallen out of a spliff. So Yasmin was very, very close.
God.
But it wasn't rice out of a burrito, it was hash out of a spliff.
That's because food is my addiction. That's why.
And also, you might need a burrito after you've had the spliff.
Yes.
Ned, any points? Famous
munches for drug taking. Yeah. Points for that answer? No.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, why, come on, it's the same thing. Beans and a spliff, it's the same thing.
I mean, I don't know what you've been smoking. generally for the hip.
And it's the end of the round.
All beans aside, I don't keep a track of points. Tell us, what are the scores, please, legend?
Better than the English. I'm afraid you're on 5 points. Oh, no. Global spillage.
The English are on 0 points.
Yeah, global spillage. You're on second place with 35 points.
Yay.
But the hive mind are winning with 40 points.
The next round is the teams round. This is the round where a member of each team simply bare-knuckle fights to the death. Oh, sorry, that's the script from the season finale. This is the round where a member of each team has come prepared with a question based on their cultural family background, which they'll use to try and outwit their opponents. Global Spillage, mm-hmm. Do you have a question for Better Than the English?
Yes, we do. What do Irish people call fizzy pop?
Some sort of Pepsi or Coke?
Not the brand name. Okay. Just the little term we use for it.
Giddy water.
Oh. I wish.
No, but that's what I'm going to call it from now on.
non-alcohol.
I might have some non-alcohol.
Yeah, give me some non-alcohol and then you get the fizzy pop.
Okay, is that your final answer? Yeah. Giddy water, which I love,
yeah,
and non-alcohol.
Okay. We do get confused when you say non-alcohol. It takes us a second. Most things are alcohol.
Is it something like fizzy boo or something like that?
Fizzy boo?
Yeah.
I like that as well. No, it's not.
What is it?
We call them minerals.
Oh. No. Minerals?
That's, yeah. That's because we're all nutritionally deficient.
So you call Coke a mineral?
A mineral. You'd say, like, you know, you go to the shop and you get me a mineral.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I think they do it in Scotland. They say it in Scotland.
Is it
as well.
To seduce people into thinking they're getting vitamins?
Yeah.
Global Spillage scores because Better Than the English didn't get the answer right. Better Than the English, do you have a question you can fill the hive mind with?
I can do mine, but I think they'll know it.
Do you want to go in with more confidence, I think.
Okay. What's a Welsh knot made out of?
A Welsh knot?
Yeah. Smashed it, mate.
Wood. It's made of wood. Could you explain a little bit more for our international listeners?
So a Welsh knot is a thing that children were made to wear around their neck in school if they were caught speaking Welsh instead of English, because obviously you guys all know that they tried to eradicate the language. And, oh no, yeah, that's glossed over. And so they were...
We've committed
children.
So many crimes. I was literally looking around the table and I was like, oh, God. Like, even Romania, we just, like, let the Soviets take it over at the end of the Second World War.
Keep it light, mate.
Yeah.
So anyway, what happened to the children? we're keeping it light. Yeah.
So you would be given this, it was a bit of rope and it had, it was like a ruler or a lump of wood with WN on it, and the children were encouraged, like McCarthyism, to sort of rat each other out, and the child wearing it at the end of the day would be beaten. And that was a way of globalising Wales and getting rid of the Welsh language.
Oh, and making everyone speak English.
You're right, I shouldn't have brought it down.
It's fine, now we use the Welsh language exclusively to talk about English people, so we've really got our own back.
Can you say that in Welsh?
No. No, it's a very successful scheme, actually.
All right, Hive Mind, do you have a question for Global Spillage?
My name is Lindsay, I'm from Canada. If something is a gong show, what does it mean?
A gong show?
A gong show.
A gong show is where people will be voted out by the audience, depending on how long they're any good at anything.
Oh, I thought that's what it was. You get, like, you keep talking until someone goes gong.
Yeah, yeah, that's in comedy, that's what it is. Yeah.
But in Canada, it means something else.
Oh, in Canada! I thought you said in comedy. Okay, so, wait, we'll go again.
That famous country comedy.
So oh, God, in Canada, when someone says, it's a gong show.
Yeah, it was a gong show, it's a gong show.
It's a gong show.
Does it mean crazy or mad?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You're not allowed to answer that.
Does this mean crazy, crazy or mad?
Yes.
I don't know what to do now.
They get points because the team the question answered wrong.
So you own gold, that Kerry Pritchard McLean, you own
gold. No, Hive Mind get points.
Oh, no,
we
don't.
No,
because hang on a minute. We were
just taking a break. So what happens is, Deborah gives you one answer, and I always think it should stop there because you've given a wrong answer.
No, Deborah because people are out to have a bit of fun, though.
Yeah, they had their fun. We had a bit of fun. We all had a lot of
sounds
fun.
Sounds it, mate. It really sounds it. Yeah.
I feel
let's go
scared.
Back to what happened to the children in Wales when the English came.
Let's just... It's fine. Let
fine.
The hive
we'll
mind
put a rabbit
it.
On.
This has turned into a real gong show, I can tell you that.
And it's the end of the round.
The prize for the most points is absolutely squat. Tell us what are the scores, please, legend.
In third place, with an improved 10 points, it's Better Than the English.
Yay!
In second place, with an also improved 40 points, it's Global Spillage.
Yay! Did someone boo?
The rabbit. Do the rabbit thing.
And in first place, with an even better 45 points, it's a Hive Mind.
I'm Jessica Fostercue. You might know me off this brilliant podcast, Global Pillage, or off The Guilty Feminist. I wanted to let you know that I have my own podcast. It's called Hoovering. But don't worry, it's not about chores. It's about eating, which is, for me, the opposite of a chore. It's about the highs, lows, and even mediums of eating. And I've had some huge guests. Jack Monroe, Rachel Riley, Simon Rimmer, and Deborah Francis White. I'd love it if you listened. That's all. Hoovering. Plug over. Thank you.
Next up is the Smash the Patriarchy round. This is the round in which we ask a question about a triumph over evil. Do you remember when Obama won? Stuff like that. There's only one question in this round, but it's worth double points. So if you're the losing team, this is your chance to make a comeback even more successful than the official best comeback line of all time, your mum. Or as we prefer to say here at Global Pillage, your dad. Because actually, we really like and respect your mum. Just a shame about your dad. Which protest included the slogans 1983 to 2018, I can't believe I still have to protest this bollocksology?
That was the Irish abortion referendum repeal of the 8th that just happened.
You are correct. And it also included two other slogans. So to throw to the hive mind and to give Better Than the English Charts some points, if you can name either of the other slogans on my card, you might get some points. Otherwise, the hive mind have had no chance to score.
Abortion, yay!
It's not on my card. And to be honest, I don't think it was on anyone's card at the march. I don't think anybody had abortion, yay, on their card.
Oh, well, actually, I've got another question to throw.
Yeah.
Recently, in the last couple of weeks, Ireland have had another referendum to repeal another medieval law. What law were they repealing and successful in repealing? Yeah, spot on.
Blasphemy. Okay, great. So the hive mind have scored and Global Spillage have scored and we're out. But the other two were girls just want to have fundamental human rights and the immaculate deception.
Oh, lovely.
See, we're very clever.
The final round is our quick fire round. Hive mind, if you know the answer, shout buzz and then shout out the answer as loudly as you can. Fingers on buzzers and time starts now. What Oscar-nominated film was called in China Jedi Rescue, according to Ned and Google Translate?
Star Wars?
No.
Oh, fuck.
No.
Sense and Sensibility?
Correct. No, it was The Martian.
Oh.
They obviously just thought alien Jedi. In Singapore, how much would you be fined for selling chewing gum in dollars?
$1,000.
3,500.
It's in fact $100,000.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They really don't like chewing gum.
Yeah, so we were the closest.
No. What were the Tampa Bay Rowdies?
Football team?
Correct. An American soccer team, yeah.
Oh.
Finish this line from the Ukrainian national anthem. We lay our soul and blood for cherished...
land?
No.
Soul?
No. Freedom. Finish this French idiom, an apple a day.
You die anyway.
No.
Oh, keeps the doctor away.
It's close, but the French version is kills the doctor.
Oh.
Oh. Morbid.
No, not on my card. After Mandarin Chinese and English, what is the third most spoken language in the world?
I think the hive mind got that one.
Spanish.
No. Hive mind.
Did the hive mind say it?
What's written
it's
down?
Hindi.
Oh, yeah.
The hive mind did not say it. What country is the Komodo dragon the national anthem of?
Indonesia?
Animal of.
It's either Indonesia
or Malaysia.
Indonesia.
It is Indonesia.
Indonesia. Okay, yeah.
Yes, but I need to read it again. What country is the Komodo dragon the national animal of?
Indonesia.
Oh, no. It's rabbits hot. Everywhere.
Finish this Austrian joke about Germans. The main difference between Austrians and the Germans is that Germans would like to understand Austrians but can't. And Austrians...
don't like Germans.
Germans
want to understand Germans but won't.
Germans would like to understand Austrians but can't, and Austrians
would like to eat
cake. Would like to
understand Germans but don't want to.
Yes! Well done, better than the English. And it wasn't quite the same.
She said the right answer.
We've got this recorded. Let's play it back. I'm throwing the scores to Ned. I don't know if that was you have to decide, Ned. We're out of time, and it's the end of the show!
For both teams have played well, but probably not in vain. Tell us, what are the scores, please, Ned?
I think this is the highest scoring show we've ever had, for a start. Ooh. But actually, I think by a distance, if you take all the scores together, apart from the better than the English, who only had 10 points by the end. But in second place, we have Global Spillage and The Hive Mind. It's a tiebreaker.
Oh! But it's also a joint first.
No, but we're going to get a tiebreaker question.
Oh, damn it.
Fuck no.
Okay.
Yes. Let them have it.
Tiebreaker. Yeah.
All right. Buzz, as soon as you recognise this place, you're going to get 5 clues. Okay. This major European city is home to 4.3 million people, as well as 280 fountains and more than 900 churches.
Buzz. Rome.
Correct! Yes. Off one clue! Off one clue! Hive well Mind, you have brought it home. That was a very exciting ending. So it's a fully clothed wedding to our winners, but a load of rabbits on the heads of our losers.
Ew.
Both kinds, the magical kind and the other kind. I can't even remember the original definition now. I can only remember a hitman magician. All that leaves me to say is hasta la vista, baby, a phrase which we all know to mean, oh dear, you're getting terminated. That's not very nice. But in reality, in Spain, means a genuinely cheerful, can't wait to be with you again, baby. And we can't. Please come back soon. And in the meantime, give it up for Redo Isaac, Kerry Pritchard McLean, Yasmin Akram, Sabina Zira, Ned Sedgwick in Tennant's Corner, and Samuel Wolf on King. The Global Pillage theme tune was composed by Mark Hodge. The recording engineer was Chris Sharp. The producer for the spontaneity shop was Tom Zielinski. Programme associate was Jessica Postacue. Thanks to Zoe, Sally and everyone at King's Place. For more information about this and other episodes, visit globalpillage.net.
Wait, just quickly to ramp up attention, Global Spillage are 5 points ahead. So, you want to be shouting out, Hive Mind.
Sorry, I got carried away. I'm sorry. It's not in the spirit
I
of the game.
I feel like
sorry.
You're gloating.
I am a little bit.
Someone's putting a rabbit on you.
Yeah.
Pride cometh before a rabbit.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. acast.com.